The first series of interleague play has been completed. The Pacific League has won 11 of the first 17 games, with one of them being washed out. Will the junior circuit's dominance continue? We think it will, and we'll tell you why on this edition of the Japan Baseball Report.
You're listening to the Japan Baseball Report, your weekly English language podcast that provides news and notes related to Japanese baseball.
For 3 weeks during the season at the NPB level, they play interleague action, and it has been 20 years since interleague inception was adopted back in 2005. It was the only time, and prior to that, that the Central League and the Pacific League teams would face off against each other would be in spring training during the All-Star Series and a short exhibition tournament called the Suntory Cup, as well as the Japan Series. So getting an opportunity to see the interleague teams play and clash was something that had come about approximately 20 years ago, as we mentioned. Initially, the Central League teams did not want to play interleague because they felt it would reduce the money from games played against the Yomiuri Giants, who generate the most money in Japanese baseball. And so for those of you who maybe aren't really sure of how sometimes the Japanese baseball works, at least from the financial end of things, I often equate it to a lot of European soccer teams where it's all one for all and all for one. In other words, your merchandise, your gate receipts, everything is all brought in to the club by the club. They own its own rights. They own everything, and they're able to make the most of it. With that being said, when you think of the National Football League, Major League Baseball, and the North American sports, they do have some revenue sharing for their jersey sales, for their merchandise and other things that they would sell related to the teams. When you think about it, the New York Yankees and Los Angeles Dodgers dominate in terms of jersey sales year in and year out. Every once in a while, there'll be other teams that will have certain jerseys or certain players or certain things that will sell a little bit more than others. But for the most part, the Yankees is not just a New York or a North American. It is a global image, the sign of the N and the Y. And so for the Yankees, for them to be able to share their revenue with the likes of the Colorado Rockies or the Tampa Bay Rays, it has probably helped some of those smaller teams in a lot of ways be able to do things that maybe they can't afford like the big teams can. And certainly having the interleague play that has now gone between the Pacific League and the Central League, I think it's a good thing, because it allows the teams like the Giants to go into other centers for people to be able to come. And some of those smaller teams will certainly be able to benefit from their visits to their park. Well, in 2004, when the NPB realigned, team representatives and organizations agreed to maintain a two-league system. They approved to hold interleague play in the regular season games in 2005. Now, originally, it was 36 games in the first couple of years. What that meant would be it was three games at each team's home park. So three games on the road, games at home. In the 2007 season, they cut interleague to 24 games. Now, since 2017, it's been reduced to 18 games, which is what the format is we have today. So basically, you're going to play nine games in a Pacific League park. You're going to play nine games in your home park, or vice versa if you're a Pacific League team. And then they rotate every other year. They go back and forth, generally speaking, to be able to do that. Now, the interleague play is played this year in the month of June. Sometimes it'll start in the month of May. But this year, being able to play all the games in June, it's over that three-week window before they have a little bit of a break and carry on with the rest of the season. Now, in the first 20 years of interleague play, the Pacific League has won more games than the Central League, with the exception for 2009, 2021, and 2022. There was no interleague play in 2020 because of the pandemic, or the global pandemic. At the conclusion of interleague play, the team with the best winning percentage is considered, or at least named, the champion. Pacific League teams have finished in the top of 14 out of 19 times and have been crowned the champion at that time. And the team with the most victories has been the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks. They are an 8-time winner of this tournament in the 19 years it's been played, or the interleague play in its current format and structure. The Chiba Lopete Marines and the Oryx Buffaloes have twice won it from the Pacific League. The Murray Giants and the Colt Swallows have twice won it from the Central League. And then other teams to round it out, the Fighters and the Eagles from the Pacific League, and the Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars from the Central League have won it once. A couple other news and notes regarding the interleague play. There's only been one two-time MVP, and that would have been Yuki Yanagita for Fukuoka in the 2015 and 2017 seasons. Last year, Shin Mizutani won the MVP in his first year with the Fighters after coming over from time in Fukuoka. And last year, it was the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles who won it for the first time in 2024. We're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back in just a moment with more of our thoughts on the interleague. And as we told you at the outset, we'll tell you why we think the Pacific League has the advantage when we come back after this. Japan Baseball Report has been brought to you by Last Crafts Baseball. If you would like to reach us with questions or comments, our email address is info@lastcraftsbaseball.com. We'll respond to as many comments and questions in the upcoming episodes that we can. We appreciate your listenership and look forward to seeing you at one of our live stream listening parties this season. So why do we think the Pacific League has an advantage? It is one reason: the designated hitter. It is an extra bat in the lineup. And when you think of the five of the six teams, right now there are players that are what I would call currently more dedicated as a designated hitter than any other position. The Fighters have Franmil Reyes. The Buffaloes have Tomoya Mori. Kira Nakamura has been pretty much the Hawks' DH. Gregory Polanco has been holding down the fort for the Marines, and Takiya Nakamura for the Lions. Eagles, well, more than any other team, they rotate players through the designated hitter role and really don't have anybody that is been anointed as a designated bat. So why is it important? Well, because you have a paid hitter. All his job is to do is to hit. And when you think of Major League Baseball over the years, and you think of Harold Baines and David Ortiz, two Hall of Famers, that is their job, only to get in the lineup, only to be able to hit. And so if I use the Yomiuri Giants as an example, let's take Kaz Okamoto out of the lineup and make him a full-time DH. The question you have to ask yourself is, what bat is going to replace or is going to come off the bench that's going to be just as good as Okamoto into the everyday lineup? And the answer to that is nobody. And that same example could be used for Murakami of the Swallows or Austin of the Bay Stars. If you took their bats out of the everyday lineup, replaced them with somebody off the bench, made them the full-time DH, sure, you're going to get the production from them from the DH, but you've weakened yourself at the bat in that particular position you've removed them from. So my opinion is the Pacific League carries that extra bat when it does go into the other times of the year. Now, on the flip side of the coin, when you have to take that designated bat out of your lineup, all the other players are still playing unless they feel that that bat is worthy enough that they can get them into the lineup against the Central League teams when they're on the road. And that's something that they can look at and try to be able to do. But I still personally believe the Pacific League holds the advantage by having that extra bat, especially the one that's playing every day in their lineup. Well, the 2025 season and interleague is upon us. It started this week, and as we said, the first week has finished off. And right now, the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks and the Chiba Lotte Marines are the only two undefeated teams at the moment. Hawks are 3-0. They swept the Dragons. Marines swept the Giants. They're 2-0 right now as the Giants have dropped to 0-2. The first game was rained out on Tuesday, and more than likely they'll try to make that up at the end of the interleague play. They always try to get the games in. They do leave about a 3 or 4 day buffer after interleague play is completed so that anything that has been with regards to rain disrupted, they'll be able to get that one done a little bit later. Well, that is where we have it right now, is where we see the interleague play. and why we think that the designated hitter is that much of an impact. But we'll be back in just a couple of moments as we will carry on here, and we'll tell you what's happened in the early games of the interleague play and some of the important news and notes that we can pick from the first 3 days of this in-season kind of tournament that they're playing. You are listening to the Japan Baseball Report, brought to you by Last Raps Baseball. Join our Facebook group called NPB Japan Baseball Report and connect with other fans of the Japanese game. If you aren't on Facebook, be sure to bookmark our YouTube channel for live events in the 2025 season. We have a few news and notes from some of the teams in the NPB that have obviously started this week with the interleague play. One of our news and notes comes on Tuesday. In the first game of interleague play, the Yakult Swallows set a new NPB record for scoring two runs or less in 13 consecutive games. The previous record of 12 was set by the 1993 Amuri Giants and the 1962 Kuketsu Swallows. Well, the Yakult Swallows added to their growing NPB record on Wednesday, again scoring two runs or less and making that 14 games in a row. And they are at 19 games under 500 and had themselves a seven-game losing streak. On Thursday, all good things must come to an end, and in this case, all bad things must come to the end. The Swallows did record more than two runs for the first time in 15 games, snapping their MPB-setting record by scoring two runs or less. They also snapped their losing streak at seven games. The Hanshin Tigers have won via shutout three consecutive games for the first time in club history, for the 12th time in club history. Last time they did it was in April 2023. NPB record for consecutive shutouts is five by the 2010 Chunichi Dragons and the 2011 Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters. With his solo home run in the fourth inning on Wednesday versus the Fighters, Hanshin Tiger hitter Teruaki Sato has now hit home runs against all 11 NPB teams, as he has been a Hanshin Tiger throughout his career. He followed it up on Thursday night by hitting his career 100th home run. He reached it in his 553rd game, which was the third fastest in Tigers club history. The Yokohama DeNA Bay Stars, they won their first game of interleague series for the ninth consecutive season. That is a mark that they are proud of, and they're off to another good start here, as they will send Trevor Bauer to the mound in game one of the second round of games against the Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters. We'll be on the call for that one. So as we record this, hopefully you guys will be able to come and listen to that one on our YouTube channel. Thursday, the win by the Bay Stars against the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles was the 300th win in the manager Daisuke Miura's career. He's the fourth manager in club history to reach 300 wins, following Alex Ramirez, Osamu Mihara, and Caro Beto. And the last little news and note we have from the Central League: all Central League teams lost on Wednesday, and it was the first time it has happened since May 29th of 2022, and the sixth time in interleague play that the Central League teams lost all their games on the same day. Skipping over to the Pacific League for a couple of news and notes. The Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles lost their first game of interleague play in each year since 2018. And again, they took it on the chin in the opening of interleague play here in 2025. Hokkaido Nippon Ham Fighters, well, unfortunately, bad news for them. They're going to be without their Taiwanese pitcher for a while. That's Ru Yang Gulin. Will most likely be out of action for an extended period. Left the game in the third inning and went to the hospital to be examined. Pitching coach Kato said, quote, "I don't think this is a skip one kind of start type of injury," unquote. So that is not good news for the Hokkaido Ball Club. And lastly, as we wrap it up, the Oryx Buffaloes pitcher Anderson Espinoza got his win versus the Hiroshima Carp the other night. His last win came back on July 7th, 2024. Which was 333 days ago. He was tied for the longest losing streak, seven games, by a non-Japanese pitcher in club history. Well, that is our interleague report. We will be on the call for the Bay Stars and the game against the Fighters, expecting a good pitching matchup. Trevor Bauer and Hiromi Ito. That is on Friday, the 6th of June. If you are getting a chance to listen to that, be sure to check out our YouTube channel as we do some live commentary on the games and give you our insight as it happens. It's been another edition of the Japan Baseball Report, a little bit of abbreviated edition. We'll try to get these to some more information and more updates on the weekend. We appreciate you folks for listening in here tonight. Have a great day, everybody.